Good morning, church. Wow. Every time I get up here, you know, I feel like a Roman chariot. Woohoo! Thanks for warming up my Dave's box down here, Mark. Okay, today's message, we're going to talk. The fact is, you want to pop it up there, Craig? As we go through life, things can get tough. No matter who you are, no matter who we are, there are going to be times when you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through some really heavy trials. You're going to go through problems that sometimes will take your breath away. You'll be saying, Lord, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. This is too heavy, too weighty for me. Okay. And a lot of times when we are in that mode or in that vein, we are in the fire. We're in the fire and it's, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I'm lost. So today we're going to share a little bit in Daniel about a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is their Babylonian names, and the fire, the fiery furnace. So we're going to talk about that. But God promises in Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3, it's his promise, not yours, not because you are great and wonderful, I'm great and wonderful. It's his promise. He says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you in that fire. These young men were being thrown. They were going to, we'll get into the passage here in a minute, but they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And you'll see their resolve. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. You and I have the luxury of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, comforting us, walking in us, walking with us. We have that. They didn't have that. So what did they have? They had God's promises. They knew what God was going to do. Judah was overthrown and captured by King Nebuchadnezzar. And a lot of the well-educated young people were taken into Babylon and brought into the king's palace. And that's where they were groomed to be an asset to that kingdom. So everything that they knew as comfort, everything they knew as peace, everything they knew in their home, their food, their clothes, their habits, everything that they knew was gone. Everything was brand new. Everything was turned upside down. They had each other, and they also had the Lord. So I want to pick it up in Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up. I'm going to go back to, let's see here, I put down 15. King Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 3, built an idol, okay? The idol was 90 feet tall by 6 foot wide. He put out a proclamation to all the nations, all the people that were there. When you hear the music, you will fall down and worship this idol of gold. Pretty much like today. Pretty much like some of the things that we get put on us. You will follow this path to worshiping idols. So he built this image. In verse 10 it says, they shall fall down and worship the golden image at the very end of verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 11 said, whosoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there were certain Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And these are the Chaldeans speaking to the king now. And they are reporting on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they did not fall down. They did not worship, and they would not do that. And they do not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you set up. Verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage and fury. And he gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so they brought these men before the king. How would you feel? Being brought before the king, knowing what you were doing, they wanted you to do things that you should not be doing. They wanted you to believe in their behavior, in their sinful natures. They wanted you to accept what they were doing and be a part of that. They said, no, we're not going to do that. they stood before the king. Would you stand before a court today in your walking with the Lord? Could you stand before a court and give an account? Say, I'm following Jesus. I'm not going to follow the mainstream, and I'm going to throw something out here, abortions or sacrifices to the idols. They brought Shadrach, Meshach before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, verse 14, unto them. He said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? In other words, the king had power. He had authority. He could do whatever he wanted to do, and they stood before him. And they, I'm going to tell you straight up, folks, if we stand before a magistrate and we are convicted of being godly, convicted of being Christ-like, would you stand? Would you be able to say, I'm not going to bend? Verse 15, king says, now if you're ready at the time, you hear the sound of the voice. In other words, he's giving them a second chance. He says, now if you're at sound of the harp, the flute, the harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? The challenge was set. The challenge is set. Is your God capable of delivering you from the king's hands? Is your God capable of delivering you in the fiery furnace? Is he capable of delivering you in this situation that you're in, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's relationship, whatever it is he capable of delivering you? Guess what they answered? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, I'm going to do it. Okay, we have no need. In other words, we're not going to back down. Verse 17, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. Okay, we're reading a story. And the story, we can either look at it superficially, or we can say, Lord, what do you want me to understand with this? What do you want to teach us? How strong is my faith? Is my faith strong enough to stand before a fiery furnace and say, I'm not going to bow to your thrones, to the idols, the idol worship? Is my faith strong enough to say, Lord, I am here, I belong to you. You have my situation in your hand. You have surrounded me with your protection, with your hedge of protection. You promised me that if I go through the fire, it will not harm me. You will be with me in the fire. They knew that. But they still were afraid, just like you and I are. We still have doubts. We still have those fears. God doesn't. He doesn't worry about any of that. He's got you. He's got you. Far beyond what you could meet. We would be presumptuous if we didn't think that they were concerned about going through that fire. Every day we all go through certain fires. Every day we go through trials. 1 Peter 4:20 says, we go through the fiery trials to test our faith. To test it for God? No, to test it for you. How strong is your faith in the Lord? How strong is your walk with the Lord? When you are told that you're financially destitute, when you're told that your health is failing, when you're told that your loved ones are going, when you're told that all these things are going, are you standing in that faith? Are you standing and trusting in God's word? Can you say that with all confidence and assurity? Verse 18, they had a thought. They said, verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The resolution, stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in the word of God. It's His word. It's His promise. It's Him. It's He has got all of this. He has you in His hand. He holds our very breath. Just the sheer fact that He lets us breathe and get up every morning is His love for you. And He's not going to abandon you. He will be with you in the fire. He will be with you in the trials, guys. That's powerful. That's powerful. Nebuchadnezzar, and this is the typical world response. Ha! We know that because of the events that took place this year. Typical world response was full of fury. When you preach God's word, the world's going to rebel. They're going to rebel. But you're going to see something interesting in this passage. You're going to see something very interesting, how the world responds and because why they respond the way they do. Because they see something in you that they don't have. They see something in you that they lack. And when they see that in you, you don't have to verbalize it. You don't have to say anything. They see it. What is it about you? You have that peace. You're going through this huge trial. You're going through these things, but you have the peace that passes all. What is that? What do you have? How do I get that? It's a witness. It's their witness to Nebuchadnezzar. So he's full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually heated. Okay, we have that word picture. We have a furnace, and it's heated 7 times more. That is directly proportional to the level of trials that we go through. Some trials are lukewarm. Some trials are hot. Some trials are overwhelming. Some trials is hard to breathe. I can't handle this, Lord. I need you. I need you in this furnace with me. I need you in this power with me, Lord. I can't handle it. They heated it up 7 times. In other words, that trial is now magnified. A smelting furnace burns at 2,200 degrees, 7 times that. And they were standing there. They felt the heat. You do too. I do, my trials. They felt the heat. They had the concern. They wanted faith. Lord, help me be strong in this. They understood that. And now they've got everybody watching them. Everyone's watching them. See, everyone's compliant with the king. But you, as a godly person, stand with the Lord. He stands for you and in your place. So they're there. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fire. Think about that for a second. That's all they had. Everything that they had, their turbans, their trousers, everything was gone. It's kind of a hopeless feeling, but they stood their ground and said, even if God doesn't deliver me, we will not serve your gods. Even if the world goes this way, I'm not going to follow that. Some of the trials that we go through, some financial trials, personal trials, health trials, family trials, horrible things, overwearing, the weight of them is overbearing. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. I'm going to give you a little bit of a thought here. They didn't bow and fall down before the idol. They fell down in the fire. And we're going to find out there was someone else that was in that fire with them. That's who they bowed down to. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. In other words, he went, what in the world? And he rose up in haste. He jumped up. and spoke to his counselors, "Did we cast three men into the midst of the fire?" They answered, said to the king, "True, O king." And verse 25, he says, "Look, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." The fiery trial that you go through, God, the Lord is with you. You are being observed by some people who are not walking with the Lord. Whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whether no matter whom it is, they see Jesus Christ in you. And they see him. And it says right here, like the Son of God. Do you know that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself? How did he know that? Because they were thrown in the fire there, right? And that God revealed that to him. The Lord, that's how he reaches each and every one of us. Before we came to the Lord, we saw people that were walking with the Lord, that were going through trials, that were going through all these other things. How can you hold up under that? How can you say, how can you handle that? I got Jesus. I got him. Actually, he's got me. Okay? So he's got me. So the trials, the fiery trials that we go through, intensity is can be overwhelming, can be take your breath away. Been there, done that. Take your breath away. There is no hope without Jesus. There is no hope without him. But you see, they understood initially before they went in that fire, even if God doesn't do this, even if he doesn't take me out of my financial situation, even if he doesn't heal me, even if he doesn't, you fill the blank in, I'm going to stand on his promise. Because he says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When you go through the flood, it will not overflow you. And here is the perfect word picture that God has given us in the book of Daniel in chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that are faced with insurmountable odds. There's nothing they could do. They couldn't overthrow the king. They couldn't run. They couldn't do anything because the whole population was against them. But they stood in the presence of the king, said, "He's my king." When we are faced with those kinds of trials, it's easy for the darkness to move in. The darkness of depression, of fear, of anger, of all those fleshly things that we fight with daily. We all do. I don't know about you, but I do. You know, that moves in. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see that you are in the fire with me. You are in this trial with me. You have this in your hand. I belong to you. So verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants." He recognizes who they are. The world is watching you. They may not verbalize, but they're watching you. They're watching what you do when you are faced with an insurmountable fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. They want to see how you react. And you cannot react in the love of the Lord without him. He strengthens you. He walks in the fire. He is with you in through the trials. He goes to the furnace and spoke, said, "Servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. I have a question for you. How many were in the furnace? How many came out? Where's the other one? He's still there in your furnace, in your fire. He's still there with you. He hasn't left. He said, "I will be with you, and not the smoke won't have any, you will not be touched by any of that." I often thought, we were talking about that last night, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talk to the Lord within that fire? Did they know he was there? You'll note that everybody saw them. Everybody saw four people in there. The Bible doesn't say whether they recognized the Lord or not. Sometimes when we're going through our trials, guess what? We don't recognize he's there either. Sometimes when we're going through the fire, the deep waters, we don't recognize he's there. But you see, that has nothing to do with God's love and plan for you. Whether you recognize him or not, he's there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there, and the Holy Spirit gives you that comfort and that peace that passes all understanding. It's crazy. And again, in verse 27, the satraps, administrators, governors, and the kings. Now, there's a lot of important people here, a lot of governors, a lot of, I mean, we see the news, and we, you know, the news is sprinkled 24/7 with political rhetoric. Gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power, and the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. In other words, they saw the intensity, the fear. They all stood. They all fell down before them when the music started to play, except those guys. When you stand, sometimes, guys, sometimes it only takes one person in a situation like that to stand up and say, I'm going to stand. And then they see your strength, and then they stand, and they stand, and they stand. They saw him standing. The fire had nothing on there because it affected them. So what happens? What's the outcome? The outcome is Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And that's the key for us. Trusting in the Lord in the fiery furnace, regardless of the intensity, regardless of the things we're going through, whether it's health, financial, relational, political, all of that. He is with you in this place. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. On the cross, we talked about this a couple of weeks back. The last words were, it is finished. That is a legal term, meaning that it's paid in full. And when you ask Christ to come into your life, sometimes you're going to get in the fire. Not sometimes, you will. You're going to get in the fire. When that fire comes, understand clearly, you may not see him in the fire with you, but he's there. Everyone around you can see him in you. Words sometimes don't have the same impact as putting a face to the words. Words, we talked about this too. Words can have many, many different definitions. Years ago, I took a course with the company I was with, and the teacher came in and wrote on the board TREE. He said, I want each and every one of you to take out a piece of paper and a pencil, and I want you to write what that word means to you. Well, guess what? There were 18 guys, and there was 18 different definitions of that one word tree. So when you read through God's word, read for the thoughts, read for the application when you're in the fire. So today, it's kind of a short one here. The stories sometimes can be distant in the Bible. Yeah, I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every single one of us heard about that, I think. But what really took place, What really took place was faced with no way out. Faced with it's over. Faced with I can do nothing. Faced with, Lord, I can't breathe. It's too hot. And then he is in that fire with you and he walks with you through there. And it will not hurt you. And it's there to strengthen you. He already knows your heart. He already knows where we're at. He already knows our insecurities. You can't hide from the Lord. You can't hide from him. It's the strengthening comes actually within us at that point. It's to try my faith. David, how strong are you? How strong are you? If I take your job away, if I take your health away, if I take everything away from you, how strong are you in this fire? Do you trust me in this? Sometimes I got to take look in the mirror and go, stop it. Stop it. God's word stands. It will not return void ever. When he speaks, it is finished. It is complete. It is done. You are a child of the living God. He's the one that gives us his strength. He's the one that blesses us. He's the one that protects us. He's the one that holds, he holds our very breath in his hand. Think about that for a second. When you walk out here, you take a deep breath. That's because he gave it to you, because of his love for you. When he says, it's finished, I've got you. So putting a face to the words sometimes, going through fiery trials, really adds a little bit of clarity. So I'm going to do something a little different this time. I want to introduce you to someone that's going through some deep, deep, deep water. It's my daughter, Christina. Many of you know that she has stage 4. And I have never seen a more inspirational person in my entire life than that child. Ever. And I would like to bring her up, if you're okay with that, and let her give her testimony about her fiery trial and the intensity that of her fiery trial and the things going through. And I don't know of anyone that's in this room that maybe, because I don't know all of you, there's no one that I know that is going through a deeper, hotter, more intense fire than that child right there. That child of God. And it's overwhelming to watch him protect her and work with her. So if we can do that, Christina, would you like to come up, please? You can stand in Dad's.
I don't need to stand on the box. I'll just stand over here.
Are you going to okay, well, yeah, so they can see you.
Hi, my name's Christina. I'm Dave and Ruth's daughter. Most of you know, I think a lot of you know, that I was diagnosed at the end of September with stage 4 breast cancer. Initially, it wasn't stage 4, it was stage 3, and then I was hospitalized, and they found lesions in my spine. So it's traveled to my bones, which is where it's currently at. That was like one of the hardest things I think I've ever had to go through in my entire life. But it definitely allowed me to be able to see God in a different way in my life, if that makes sense. You know, you trust him with so much of your life, but then when something like this happens, you really don't have a choice. Trust me, it wasn't easy out the gate. Like, it was tough. I cried a lot. I was fearful. And it has taken me 4 years. It was 4 years in September to be able to. And through the 4 years, I've grown so much in my faith and so much in my relationship with God that I'm able to now use my cancer as a witness to other people that are struggling with cancer. I have been introduced to more women than I can even count to give them encouragement, because it's terrifying when you're first diagnosed. It's scary. So God has been able to use me in a way that I never thought I would be able to be used. My dad has a gift of evangelism, and that is not my jam. I just don't, it's not my thing. And I never thought that God would ever be able to use me in that way. But he has, and I've been so blessed. Despite, I've lost a lot of women in my life that I've known that are battling, but I also have been able to give women that are still here fighting encouragement to know that it's okay. And it also allows me to be able to share my faith with people when I meet them. These women, you know, if they don't know Jesus, you have no hope, like my dad said. There's no hope. You, especially with stage four, because it's a death sentence. There's no cure. They can keep me alive and keep those of us with stage four alive for as long as they can with medication. But there are a lot of women that the medication doesn't work, and then eventually at the end you're told you've got 6 months, 3 months, two months to live. And I have been blessed, because I consider it a blessing to be able to hold these women's hands through this horrific journey. And it's crazy because my dad says a lot about how positive I am. I don't consider myself to be a crazy positive person. I do try to be as positive as I can, but I get more people coming up to me and asking me, like, I don't understand how you can just be so happy and live your life and just not allow this cancer to consume you. And that is not me. And that gives me opportunity to tell them it is not me. It is solely by the grace of God that I'm able to stand here and share my story and to give other people hope in knowing that death is not the end. This is such a temporary thing that we're in right now. And none of this really matters in the big scheme of things. And when you're forced to look at it that way, it changes your perspective on life. So that's my story. I encourage all of you to, women, get your mammograms. And I encourage you also to share if you have been through, God has put you through a very difficult time in your life, share your story. It can change somebody's life. It can give them the hope that they need. So.
Thank you, baby. Nebuchadnezzar saw that. Nebuchadnezzar and all of those around saw the four walking in the fiery furnace. The ones they put in there, and then the Lord himself. So your witness, when you go through the fiery trials, people are going to be watching. And they tell them, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be able to walk through this. Because he is my hope. He is my salvation. Revelation says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and he has you in his hand no matter what. You can have a million excuses of why he shouldn't do it, but they're all washed away because his righteousness, you are clothed in his righteousness, not yours. So he's with you no matter what. So that being the case, you want to get a hold of, I'm going to do one of, oh, Greg's already up here. Okay. Before we close, what I would like to do is I would like to ask the church, I'm going to set a chair up here, and we're going to anoint Christina with oil with the elders, and I would ask you to come forward as the Lord leads. You don't have to do that. You can sit there and pray right there because God hears you. He doesn't, this is not a demonstration of, my commitment or whatever. No. You sit right there and pray right there if you want. But I'm going to anoint her with oil, and I'm going to ask the men to come forward and the ladies to come forward, and we'll lay hands on this child that the Lord will strengthen her in actually be a beacon of hope, a beacon of hope in a dying world. And that's who you are, and that's who I am.